Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
Oh, and that must mean it's definitely 3 minutes past two. That can be the only solution to the clock I see on my face.
On your face?
Yeah. Write that down, Eli.
Oh, Gannon, you are gone.
Did he just do one?
He's got a clock on his face.
Literally, yeah. 2 seconds in, and I'm like, I can see the clock on my face.
The cock on your face.
No, I did not say cock. I know what I said.
Oh, I've been in the FUBAR studio for less than a minute, and I've already said cock on your face. This is...
You're perfect. Never leave. We're back. It's 2 o'clock and we have, 7 hours to go?
No.
What? Nine hours, mate.
Bollocks!
Get real, Paul.
Okay, Gannon's crying.
Why won't this end?
It won't end till 11 tonight.
I don't deserve this. I was on Games Master.
You made this.
You do deserve it, though.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
What did you do on Games Master?
I was a contestant on the first season set in the church.
Oh my goodness. And what did you play?
Duck Hunt.
Hey.
No need for that. She only asked. Jesus.
She's a lovely German lady, you know, we should talk like that. I was on the first season of that, and I was actually on the episode with Emlyn Hughes.
Oh, God rest his soul.
Bless him, yeah.
He's dead, right?
I hope so. And I played Duck Hunt, and I didn't win the golden joystick.
Oh.
But I was taken backstage by a runner and said, there's a box of video game stuff, take it. So you know what I took?
Go on.
Bunch of Nintendo and Lynx games and t-shirts. And it was actually, if you won, you just got the golden joystick.
Oh my God.
So Lynx games, you were the real fortune. Winner.
Yeah, I got Xenomorph.
Yeah, but if you won, then.
Which is all right. And I got California Games.
But Paul, if you'd
won. Well, that usually came free with the Lynx. So.
Oh, well, I had the modern Lynx.
But you know, Paul,
the
kind
of. Oh, Lynx 2.
Yeah, the Lynx 2.
If you'd won the golden joystick.
Oh, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be sitting on a golden throne of skulls.
You'd be sitting on a golden joystick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Worn away by time.
I love this micro click action that I'm getting on. It's just, you can feel every movement of the joy.
Every time I come in this studio, it gets dirty.
Really?
Well, then stop coming in the studio. And it's out of there.
Oh, it's nice to be back, guys.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know that, recognise that voice. A, you're an idiot, and B, you need to find out that voice comes from Angela Barnes, everybody.
Hello.
So round of applause and welcome.
Oh, it looks like Radio 2 in here. Love it.
It is. I will now ask you about immigration.
And play some Tia Gilmore.
That's why I do. I invite all the loveliest comedians on, then get them to say something anti-Semitic. And they'll be like, yeah, don't book her.
Sorry?
Yeah.
What?
Anti-Semitic? What?
Anti-Semitic.
Are you no one's
talking about you. Stop pulling focus.
I'm pulling focus.
Yes. This is you actually pulling focus.
Good.
Right. So write down clock on.
I can see the clock on my face.
And just put it away. This is basically every cock up I say tonight is going to get turned into a t-shirt. Ka-ching.
Brilliant.
So how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm doing a lot better than you two by the looks of it.
That's not saying much. You could have got here at 8 o'clock tomorrow and still said the exact same thing with accuracy.
Actually, yeah. I'm impressed. I'm impressed by how well you're doing.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
How many Red Bulls?
He is the leader. I've only had two monsters or whatever.
Eight Red Bulls, that's not good for you, mate.
Yeah, but I've had eight over 20 hours.
I'm glad I've bought you two more. That's
good. You've got the good shit, you've got the boost.
Yeah.
Ooh, boost, it's the nasty,
I'll tell you
slutty
what it is.
A younger sister of Red Bull.
That's how I roll. I am the slutty younger sister.
Oh, my God. What?
I had something there. It's gone. It's gone.
Good story.
Listen. Tell it again, Dad.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is the kind of banter we've become known for over the course of today. If FUBAR Radio don't hire us instantly for more 27-hour shows on a weekly basis, they are fools.
I remember what I was going to say now.
Good. Anyway, so coming up later on the show... Go on, no, take it.
You know what I'm doing so well? Well, until about a minute ago, comparatively, because I'm used to a life of hedonism.
Yeah.
So this is just like that, except without the Class A drugs.
So how is it in any way hedonism?
Well, you know, I'm used to all-nighters. Not so much in recent years, but, you know, a bit of a raver.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just get into this thing.
This is the fourth time you've mentioned your past all-nighters.
Oh, can't I have some glory?
Eli's on the pull, isn't he? That's what's happening. He's trying to get all the ladies
I'm
listening.
A fucking raver.
Go all night.
He's a single
I'm
man.
I'm a silver fox ex-raver.
I was giving him some tips outside about... because you said
cry wanks.
How come you didn't use the tearjerker? Come on. That's...
Oh, no. You see, this is why she gets paid professionally for this, and we bake the
scraps. To be fair, that is not my joke. That joke belongs to Nicholas Cook, and I want to make that clear.
That's fine. That means you're a proper comedian because you've just admitted to plagiarism.
Yeah, I admitted to plagiarism.
What was that story about Bob Monkhouse someone told us recently? Did you hear this story? There's a story about Bob Monkhouse, and he was doing some show, and he does this gag, and I can't remember who the comedian in question was. I want to say... like Brendan Burns, but I don't think it is. Anyway, reasonably famous stand-up male comedian goes up to Bob Monkhouse and just goes, just so you know, your researchers might have got it wrong, that gag's mine.
Right.
And Bob Monkhouse's like, oh, I'm really sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, mate. All right, well, give us your number. I'll sort you out. Don't you worry. A couple of weeks go by, and this stand-up in the Post gets a tape of Bob Monkhouse's that gag in the 70s.
Amazing.
And you just think, yeah, Bob, you're forgetting his politics. He was the Don.
The absolute Don.
He was the British Bob Hope. And he wrote for Bob Hope, which is amazing, you know?
Yeah, but Bob Hope.
You should read his autobiographies. Bob Monkhouse's books are fantastic reads.
He was like Nick Greville was saying earlier. He was he had an encyclopedic mind. And remembered stuff. Obviously remembered when he told that joke the first time.
And was able to locate...
No, but he was a massive archivist.
Well, yeah, because he had all those books stolen, didn't he? All his jokes stolen. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's going to know exactly where that joke is. Yeah. But he collected video as well.
Yeah. I saw a documentary about Joan Rivers, and she archives all her jokes like that. Like, she has them on, like, in card files, in drawers. It's mad, isn't it?
Oh,
like
yeah. See, that's the professionals for you.
Shit.
Anything I ever wrote stayed there. Basically came out half mangled. I've never really written anything.
I've got like about 7 headlines, and they're the same for several years.
The thing is, I've just got
notebooks, and now I've started putting things online now because I'm, you know, getting with it.
Down with the kids.
But I still prefer just a pen and a notebook.
Yeah, there's something about that tactile writing.
Yeah,
because that's the, I mean, this is actually what I've never asked you, and I'm wondering, you don't script what you. Dude,
oh, God, no, it'd be much better if I did.
Yes, that analogy did not quite match up to the expectations of my audience's wants. Because I didn't presume you did. But you edit the video, right?
Not usually. Not unless there's a mistake or some git knocking on the front door trying to sell me stuff.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, that's happened more than...
But those moments
actually,
are real.
I can remember.
They're real and they're honest, and you know, you should go complete dogma with the rest of your videos. No lighting. Who needs that? You know,
people do like to see what you've got in front of them.
If you're going to be difficult, we can't work together. All right, let's just put it that way. I'm offering help, and he's just thrown it back in my face. It's almost as if he knows what he's doing and doesn't need my pitiful advice.
Dogma was more of a starting point, Paul, than an actual sort of filmmaker's manual. You know, it was more of an ideology, like a jumping off point.
When did this become the culture show? I am out of my depth.
So you should have been here this morning. We're all like, what's the nature of satire, do you believe, man? Well, yeah, I think we're talking about the fake news.
I had to leave.
I thinking hurt.
Me tell Dickie Jock now.
For the listeners, Paul Gannon has just choked on a Red Bull.
Choke it down, bitch.
Well played, sir. 2 points to you. I doff my crown.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. So what are you working on at the moment? I mean, obviously, Edinburgh's on the way.
Oh, God, yeah.
So you obviously hate money.
Yeah, I hate money, and I hate having free time.
Oh, my God.
I hate enjoying my life. So, I'm doing Edinburgh. No, I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, just got to write the show, right?
It will be fine.
How hard can it be,
right? I mean, people do it, yeah?
50 minutes.
50 minutes.
You've done it before?
I did my first solo show last year.
Right.
So, I mean, that difficult second album thing, you know, and going... Yeah. Like, because last year's show took me 4 years to get to the point to do
but
my first
solo
show.
Then you've got to do the next one quickly.
And now it's, you know... Mm. And my agent says really useful things like, yeah, well, it's got to be. It's just even better than the last one.
Simple. Yeah.
Oh, fine, yeah. I'll knock that out and it'll be even
just
better
just like that,
the
much
one.
Better. Yeah.
Yeah.
All you got to do is be more funny. Yeah. Just be more funny. just be for me more funny tonight. So, have you got... Are you doing what most comedians do for their second show and just go... going with a theme?
Well, my first show was fairly themed.
Okay.
So this year I've decided just to make... I've given it a really vague title. I've done that thing. It's called Come As You Are. It's very Leslie Phillips.
At least it's not something like Angie, Close the Barn Doors.
There's so many pun titles I went through in my head. It was this close to being Evangela. I thought it was quite good.
I like it.
But I might do that next year, maybe.
I'm glad you didn't go with that.
I've gone with Come As You Are because it's just about, like... Well, that doesn't mean anything, so it's fine.
Isn't it a great title for off a song, though?
It's a Nirvana song.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I know a pop reference.
Well done, yeah.
And it's not Die Hard.
Kurt Cobain did die 20 years ago, but yes, you do know a pop reference.
At least you didn't call it Rape Me, though, to be fair. So. That would put bums on seats, let's be honest.
It would. Actually, I just need to phone my agent.
I've just ripped off this great idea.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, no one knows who he is as well.
Yeah.
So you can completely do it. And he'll cry. He'll actually cry.
Did everyone see him just threaten me with physical violence? I'm just wondering if anyone saw that. Is this some kind of fucking webcam or something we've got in here?
Okay, he did just throw a pen at you.
That was a ghost. That was a document. We got a ghost here. We found out this room is haunted.
Right, this room is about 15 years old at the most, I'd say, this building.
This building is 800
years old. No, the building's
hundreds
of years old, yeah.
This is what we learnt last night.
It's called Busways. What's it called?
I just started watching American Horror Story, right, so don't be freaking me out, because I watched two episodes last night and couldn't sleep.
Unless you are really scared by gimp costumes, you do not need to worry about the first season of American Horror Story.
I've just watched the first four episodes.
Okay.
And so we watched two on Thursday night, two last night, and on the night when we watched the first two, my boyfriend started, never done it before, starts talking in his sleep.
I think I was like orgasm.
Yeah,
<or something.
laughs> never done it before.
You, go on, sorry.
A gimp suit and but it is freaky.
Sleep talking, weird, and you can have conversations with them.
Well, I thought he was just saying something to me, and I was like, what was that? And he's like,
yeah, Batman's in the cupboard, and I've got eyelashes in my eye.
Which is weird, because Batman was in the cupboard.
Well, which one? Adam West?
Of course. Is there any other?
Val Kilmer.
I'm sorry.
Die Hard 5's in the cupboard.
Should I say something about Fry and Laurie? I don't know.
That sketch, Paul. Say the sketch.
So what are you going to say, Eli? Say something witty.
Ooh!
I own you.
This is great. This is really picked up. You guys, magic.
You know what I really hate? I really hate being cultured. That really pisses me off. I really like being well read. Must annoy you.
How is Die Hard 5 well read?
No, I don't like Die Hard 5.
Oh, you don't like Die Hard 5.
Now he tells us. You brought it up again. Why can't I go yet?
Why can't I go home and have the wank I've been promised since yesterday?
Nobody in this room is stopping you from having a wank.
Well, in that case,
the toilets are down there. I can hold the reins. We can handle this.
Hang on, hold the reins.
that's what they say. I can hold the reins.
What clubs have you been to? Yeah, I'll hold the reins. You'll be all right. Is that
what you say as a metaphor for taking control?
I think Paul was just worried that you were going to hold the reins of his wank rather than of the show.
If you were going to get a little bit giddy up.
Gimpy.
Bit horsey.
Yeah, a little bit giddy up.
I wish.
Gee.
I want to hear more tales of Eli talking to people who are sleep talking.
Yeah, you can.
So what information have you gleaned from their subconscious by doing
I haven't
this?
Done it. It's a friend of mine. And I'm not just saying that because I'm embarrassed. It was actually a friend of mine. And his wife does it all the time. Like, all the time, every other night or whatever. And so he started actually engaging. And it's really weird because they will have a conversation with you, but it's that dream kind of conversation where it just isn't... It's slightly not making sense.
Wow.
In that weird way.
Conversations from another dimension.
Yeah. Really. I've always been fascinated by that thing where you're in a dream and... It all makes total sense. And then you wake up and you think, that all was totally... And it was... No, it's just... Meaning has evaporated here. It doesn't make sense at all. Nothing makes sense.
The most vivid dream I ever remember was...
I've been here a long time,
right? What?
I've never seen you like that earnest about anything.
It was a really honest moment.
I'm sorry for the people listening because you can't see what we just saw. It was beautiful.
Imagine Ron Jeremy holding his face in his hand. And you've got it fully clothed.
Right, that's low.
Yeah, there you go. No, I was gonna say, I remember a dream I had when I was young, about 15, 16. It was like the whole dream seemed to go on forever, and I was in a maze. And after being bored of being in my own dream, there was a big red button that said, if you want to know the meaning of happiness and success, carry on. If you want to wake up, press the red button. And I pressed the red button and woke up. And I think that is the biggest metaphor of my life I could possibly
Paul
piece together.
Now.
It's like, yeah, come on, Paul, a little bit more hard work and you can get what you want. Fuck off. I'm more than willing to wake up.
Oh, look at that. We started talking about dreams.
Yeah.
That's where we've got to. I sleepwalk.
Do you?
Ooh. I do. I haven't done it for a while. I think I did it quite a bit when I was younger. And I broke my arm once sleepwalking.
Really?
Which is, yeah.
From a fall?
Yeah, I went down head first down some stairs. Which is embarrassing.
At least it wasn't your head.
Yeah, well, I had stitches in my head and broke my wrist.
Did you wake up in a lot of pain?
Well, no, what happened, I was at a friend's house, and it was his parents' house, actually, and his room was in the attic, and I was sleeping on his floor, and I got up in the night I presumed he could go to the loo, whatever he thought, and I just opened his bedroom door, and the stairs were just there, and I just went head first down them. And what the most embarrassing thing about it was, I was only wearing like a t-shirt and a pair of knickers, and his dad woke up, and I just had flashed my tits to his dad. Oh, so that was embarrassing. And I just went to the loo and went back to bed. They thought I was all right, and then about an hour later, I woke up
in pain.
Put my hand to my head, and there was just blood everywhere.
Oh, that's nightmare.
And they were like, "Oh shit!" And I was like, "What happened?" Because as far as I was concerned, I'd just woken up in bed
bleeding.
I thought he'd beaten me up, my friend.
Terrible.
I mean, I still don't know for sure that he had. To be fair,
the closest I've come to anything like that is being paralytically drunk and pissing in a cupboard and believing it was the loo.
Oh, that's
a
beautiful image. What is it with men and pissing in cupboards?
It's just the demon. It's the demon booze. Yeah. It's the demon booze. That's all it is.
Which and I'll be drunk. I've never pissed in a cupboard. I suppose it's logistically slightly more difficult.
It's different, yeah.
Don't let that stop you.
Yeah. No. Challenge accepted.
Give it a go. Give it a go, Angie.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, and we've got another sponsor just come in.
Hooray. Oh, yeah.
And Matthew Wooden, thank you for sponsoring us. So thank you, Matthew. Round of applause.
That's my boyfriend, that is.
Is it?
Yeah. Nice one, Matt. I'm You'll get some tonight. Well done.
Donate more, Matt. Donate more. You'll get what you've always wanted. You know what we're talking about.
Who's to say he hasn't already?
Oh,
yeah, well, yeah. Oh, God, I mean, this has got... Oh, my God.
I know.
I've caught your tiredness. I was feeling fine.
Good, good, good. Well, we just got Doug Sewell coming in a bit, which is always
excellent.
Nice. We've got Nev to get in at some point, but I thought, you know, we'll just rock it and we'll mix it and we can move Ashens out and then bring him back in and a little bit. And it's all very...
Fluid.
I love being popular. Very nice feeling. Oh. I'm lying to myself right now.
And we're all enabling you.
Thank you very much. It's nice to know that when push comes to shove, you will push.
Yeah.
Good. Shove if you ask nicely.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So what are you doing, Eli?
What do you mean, what am I doing?
I'm
supporting you in your endeavour.
Whose idea was this?
Paul's.
Paul.
That didn't take long.
I like radio. I love it.
I'm actually having a bloody good time, Paul, but I've been so daunted by just the prospect of this.
Yeah.
Well, you're not used to work, are you?
He's really not.
No. I mean, I've known Eli Silverman for quite a few years now.
Long enough.
Yeah. And it's nice to see you without the lycra on, my head. When I see you, you're wearing gold lamé.
That poor Mr. Mark Allen makes you suffer, doesn't he?
No, the lamé I go along with.
Why?
He's
glamorous.
Because it makes your penis look like a doll's hand.
Oh my God!
No, that's just how it looks, Paul.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. He's got this kind of weird, I don't know, like...
It looks like a
Dennis Potter in the last few years of his life kind of mound hand thing.
It's more of a, yeah...
Can't quite hold a cigarette, but gets
the
job done.
At least when I get in my Ghostbusters costume, it doesn't give me the worst male camel
You have
toe
no
ever.
Idea. I got this Ghostbusters costume, like... right, when I was doing Imran Yusuf's pilot, right, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And when we got it then, I hadn't quite given them the right measurements. I'd kind of given them the 2005 measurements. But I got in it.
Right.
And so last year I was going to do the solo show again for another paranormal festival. I thought, I'll just get the Ghostbusters uniform on.
Oh.
I couldn't get it up my thighs. It got to the point where I was like, and then I had a moment of, you know, discovery and truth and honesty. And then a cry wank.
Oh.
No, it was
can
just.
You have
it
a
was
male
just,
camel toe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's more like a camel nose.
I was going to say, it's not really a toe.
If you want to see the perfect example of male camel toe, look at the back cover of Rush's 1977 album, Sirius.
I shall look that up.
Priests
I
of
shall
Sirius.
Not look that up.
That has got some serious. That is like classic male camel toe.
But isn't it, like, in men, because men wear tight trousers for that, don't they? Like, with women, it's not a figure, hey, look at my counter.
No, but it should be.
But with... Really?
Well, it's just it's societal norms that
but
tell you that's
not right.
But
it's like with the men, they want you to see how big it is. A girl doesn't want you to see how big it is.
No.
Or at all, in my case, it seems to be. It's like they'd rather not. They wish I was a Ken doll.
Eli does
you're
seem
right.
to be a
you're
bit
right.
of a connoisseur
but, you know,
of this.
Yeah, you are the connoisseur of genital...
just on presentation in general.
Yeah. A little heads up, right? If you're going to do... We were talking about, off-air, we were talking about internet dating. Put a male camel toe up, see what happens.
Yeah, and just call it the bulge.
Maybe with the face in as well. I didn't mean just the...
The nubbin.
Oh.
This nubbin needs your loving.
And get a... maybe get...
I'm in.
Maybe get a plate of glass. That wordplay, male camel toe, everything.
Yeah.
Lycra.
I do, yeah.
Right, so... What?
I'm sorry, did I turn it into a carry-on film? I do apologise.
No, they would have fucking thrown that out.
No, they would not. I know enough about carry-on films.
Well, how did that joke go? Lycra? No, I don't. I've been away for a day and a half! Why are you expecting me to be clever?
Eli, keep prodding the beast, because this is hilarious.
I know.
That vein in his forehead is going to pop any second.
I know you've been away a long time, Paul, but we were literally about half an hour in before you said, my ignorance proved me wrong. My ignorance proved me wrong. Weird.
I think he's weeping. I think he's actually weeping.
It's fine, Paul. We've only got...
I want to die. Is that too much to ask for? No.
This is your idea, mate. Your idea.
All I want to do is my brain and heart to shut down and I can fucking relax.
Ashton, have you got any other sort of weird food we could try? Or
to kill him with?
Have you got anything a lot bigger than a lozenge I can choke on?
Lozenges are quite big. And they've got skull and crossbones on them.
I don't like the fact that they're not in... legit packaging, those lozenges.
There's
got them in a freezer bag.
The legit packaging ripped.
Oh, okay, so watch this.
It's got great lozenges and stuff.
Oh, it's a little pirate crossbones, skull and crossbones.
This is salmiakki, which is salted licorice.
Oh, I like salted licorice.
Yeah, me too.
Norway loves this stuff.
Yeah, Scandinavia, very much so.
And he had the one with the chocolate round it.
And it's called, in Denmark, it's called spunk.
Yes,
I've had this before.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't like. That's the other thing about
I'll have
that,
then.
That I don't like.
The only thing I don't like is melons.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is it because of the.
It's a textury.
Is it because all the seeds are like the little holes? Have you got that?
I have got that.
Trypophobia.
Sorry, what was that? Trypophobia
is a fear of little holes.
Do a Google image search.
Where's my pen? This is all ammunition for a later date. Holy balls. Oh, my God. Okay, so it's 25 past. Let's just put a song on. Let's depressurise.
Can I put a song on?
Pick one later and we'll sort it out.
You've been saying that for the last 7 hours.
And have you lined a song up?
Yes, I've got plenty here.
In there, that will take you a few minutes to go through. So while
Is that a can of deodorant behind you?
Yes.
Have you got your little toiletry station?
Yeah.
Oh.
Look, this was a deal as well, £1.49.
Classy. Is it Lynx?
Well done.
No, of course
Adidas.
It's not Lynx. Look, come on.
Oh, yeah, you're over 15.
It's Adidas. It's fucking fresh. It's sporty.
This isn't an advertisement. Are you getting sponsored by Adidas?
So the minute Adidas get Eli Silverman to sponsor them, they're into the shit.
We've tried all the sports at the start as we could.
I've got one.
No, it's too late. I've lined it up. You can play it on the hour, right? You can play that on the hour. Deal?
Right, they're holding
hands.
That was lovely.
You know I love you, man.
Oh, I know.
And this has been a trying time for us both.
More
for me, I'll give you that. But what I'm saying is, you know, together we'll get through this. And we'll look back on this day as the biggest mistake of our lives. So let's just get on with
it. All right, good. We're going to take a little bit of a musical break. Shut your face and put the pen down as we play.
I didn't do anything.
Fair enough, I stand corrected. We're going to take a bit of a musical break, and this is Tenacious D and Throw Down.
FUBAR Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
Okay,
And welcome back to the show formerly known as the Fubar Radio Geekatorium 27-hour podcast radio challenge for your ears. I am Paul Gannon. Eli's left me all alone, but I'm not alone because I have with me Angela again.
All right, Paul.
And we've swapped out Stuart for a dashing young gentleman, I believe, goes by the name of Nev Fountain. So round of applause for Nev.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm not young, I'm very old.
You're only as young old as the person you feel.
To get a measure of how old I am, I'm thinking, I missed any questions for this. And any answers, the supplemental, after any questions.
Well, calm down.
It's all right, it's on iPad.
It's pretty much just as highbrow in this room, to be fair.
Yes, it's like I struggle to drag it upwards. Unfortunately, it's easy just to drop things, I tend to find. So, just for the listeners at home who may not be aware of your work, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a writer. I'm mainly known for writing for Private Eye magazine and for Dead Ringers Radio's show on television and on radio. And I write books and novels, some comedy, some straight. So I do lots of writing, basically.
Mm. Yeah. I'm very good writing at that.
See, this is where this man has it nailed, right? Because he's got a job he can do in his pyjamas, and that's where I've got it wrong.
That's the dream we all need.
You can do it in your pyjamas.
Yeah. I can, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's people next door in Mark's show doing exactly that.
Yeah.
Just the destitute wandering around thinking they're doing a 27-hour challenge when actually no one knows where they've come from. Yeah. It's just the people wandering around.
Just the people of Islington.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you come in today because I've just read an article about Big Finish, because you write for Big Finish as well.
I do, yeah.
They've just said they're allowed now to do spin-off stories based on the revived Doctor Who universe.
Isn't that exciting?
That is really exciting. I might think it's
I just lost
though.
The will
it's
to live,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, but that's, again, not a problem, but it's Lethbridge Stewart, what's her name, sorry?
Kate Stewart from the series.
Yes.
From the actual television show.
That's pretty sweet,
It means something.
Are you worried, though, that a lot of people are be going, where's fucking Osgood? We want Osgood.
Is Osgood?
Yeah, because that's what it's going to come down to, isn't it? So many people were angry about that.
She had a scarf. She had the coat. She was great at cosplay because she was a bit filled out. So, you know, she was an easy cosplay target for your maternal woman.
And the other thing about that character is that
you couldn't do Kate Lethbridge Stewart because she's too hot. So
no, she's not. But
you have to hire someone for that.
Guys.
Yeah.
What?
This is just where I get to geek out a little bit.
We spoke about the TV show 24.
That was yesterday. That was yesterday. This is today.
It's like, you're not going to stop talking about 24.
It was
literally not going to stop.
Are you still talking about 24?
No, this is all Doctor Who for the next few minutes.
Isn't it a kids' programme? I thought this was a show for grown-ups.
I'm very glad that Big Finish have got the new licence because I have said that Big Finish, before the series started, was like fucking a slowly cooling corpse because Doctor Who wasn't really going anywhere. And when Chris Beckelson came on, it was very exciting, but they were waiting for new doctors and new companions to come over and do the insignificant audio thing. Everyone's very excited about it, doing it in another medium.
Yeah, and the thing is, obviously when you come on, you do a chat and things like that, you'd like to talk about your own work, but I just want to get the Doctor Who stuff a little bit out of the way first, because, the thing about Osgood, I need to just get this out of the way.
Osgood is the scientist they had in the Doctor Who new series, and she wore a long scarf, and she had a ponytail.
Played by what's the name?
The
Thingy-Majig.
For a year before she got sucked out.
Yeah, but this is the thing. The minute the doctor says, oh, you'd be quite good to be a companion, you're dead. It happened to, was it Katie with an eye or whatever it was from the first season? What was her name?
You
know what I'm talking about, though, yeah.
She became EastEnders, didn't she? She did the How's Adam?
Yes.
So she died again.
Yes.
You'd see the death again
over and over on
EastEnders Live.
And those actors are just
Daleks,
like,
shoot me now.
Yeah, just drop their career down a pachinko thing. It's like, it's either The Bill, Doctor Who, Casualty. It's all good. So, do you think... That was very animated of me. Do you think you'll want to work on the spin-off revive thing, or...?
I'm just happy doing my own thing now. There's stuff that you get excited about when you're writing for doctors and companions, and I've done a lot of that. And if they ask me, I like to think about it. People come to me. I don't go to people. People come to me.
That's how a businessman talks. That's how a man who knows how much he's worth talks. That's why I've never said that sentence in my life.
Because you've never before spoken to a man who knows what he's worth.
It's going to be fab. There's some wonderful writers at Big Finish.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
They're not paid a lot. They do have suicide nets around the tower. Just in case they hurt themselves off.
Paul,
yes.
We've got extra guests just coming in for 5 minutes now.
Oh, yeah, it's Adam Hiss.
Hello.
They're just going to make a flying kind of visit.
Is it a flying visit?
Adam, do you want to come here? Come here where I am. Yeah, I can share.
I'm a grown man.
How's the best way to get the 5 minutes of? Have you been with Mark next door?
Yeah.
And how's that been going? Because it sounds fun, looks scary.
A part of me is dead.
Which specific part of you? And has it wilted on the vine?
I think it's the left. The left part.
I'll be honest. Our banter early on was top notch. I think
it was cutting edge stuff.
Within about 4 hours, the jokes we were making to each other were absolutely pitiful. I was embarrassed to be in the same company as myself.
Yeah,
there were sorts of jokes like. Pierre, you're so silly, you're being absolutely ridiculous. And then I realised, oh, God, none of us are comedians anymore. This is all very...
What's that sound? Because it sounds like scraping of some kind. Yeah. Barrel-like, yeah.
What was your role in the show? What were you...
Well, I think Mark originally wanted me to be on some sort of PR role, tweeting famous people, trying to get them to come down. Yeah. And then he realised he knew people with more influence than me.
I think we all realised it was a little bit
silly. So I arbitrarily and stupidly gave myself the task of learning pi to 400 decimal places.
How's that going?
Well, I don't know if you've done that.
Never felt the need.
Sleep is necessary for those sorts of activities. I've gotten to 170 already.
What, you could do that now? You could
I'll warn you, Andrew, it doesn't make gripping entertainment.
Sounds like great radio. I mean, you haven't been in here the last half hour.
The thing is, he could say any row of numbers right now, and who are we to correct him?
That's true, yeah.
It's just a thought.
Have you got an adjudicator?
Also, if someone tuned in on it and just heard a voice solemnly reciting numbers, they'd assume a nuclear war.
Yeah, it's like, holy shit, I found one of those number stations I've heard so much about.
Or a special Radio 4 quarter of an hour play. Numbers and how they sound.
How long would it take you to recite it? Well, I suppose... A couple of seconds.
Like 140 seconds.
Well, I had a race with Mark Watson on stage. The race was called Pi versus Pi, whereby I was challenged to see if I could say the first 100 digits of Pi quicker than he could eat a shepherd's pie.
You've got to give it points for imagination.
It was really down. It was down to the nail. I'll be honest.
Are you going to do a hypotenuse?
I have no idea.
Someone could eat a hypotenuse, and then someone else could recite the hypotenuse before you hit you. Sorry.
I mean that.
I'm meant to be the awake one.
You haven't been awake for 24 hours.
This has been the most painful life choice I've ever made. I love it. No, I don't. Right, so...
It's been fun. It's been fun seeing what the tasks of people have been doing. Also on the stage, there's been a sort of bend-off that's been happening.
With Tom Tuck. He's been setting the bar. He's told us he's been setting the bar.
You got beaten by Adam.
Yeah, I beat him.
That man's
What's a bend-off?
To see who can who can pick up bits of paper from the floor with your teeth without your knees touching.
Or hands, just your feet are the only thing to...
Oh, so bending in the middle. Because I'm quite bendy everywhere, but in the middle, see, so...
Gentlemen, take a note.
So you bend, what, like, vertically?
Well, I mean, I've got a bad back, so I used to be very flexible.
Ah.
But other bits of me still are quite flexible, but... Not my
bones. All right. Well, it's not.
I've got hypermobility, so I can do the old and the touching. That's really good for radio. What I just did.
For the value of the listeners, Angela took her head off.
Yeah.
Put it on the floor.
Can you put your toes in your mouth?
Yes.
She's doing it now, listeners.
Here we go. Hang on. Great radio, guys. Drum roll, please.
Hang on, I can take a picture with my smartphone.
It's in the mouth. It's in the mouth.
Audio description.
The toes are in the mouth.
And that's going on OK Cupid.
it's been fun. Pierre's doing your drawings, aren't you, Pierre?
I'm doing my drawings.
Mm. What have you been drawing? Pierre, you sound like you're actually dead.
Horrible things.
You do look like you survived the war.
I like drawing horrible things. It's the opposite of my comedy. So I get to, my comedy, I attempt to make people feel at home and that I am friendly presence. But drawings, I like to unnerve and upset people. And I've been toning it down, and still I've been given stick for it.
The first painting you did in the 27 hours involved lots of, like, kind of involved maracas and fruit, technically, and now it's just dead crows. Now it's just black.
Yeah, now it's a dead crow's head, a screaming horse with a vicar's body.
Oh, I think you said screaming whore.
No. Well, I mean, the horse head
is a whore.
It could. It's a. You can read into it.
It's a slaggy horse. I get it.
Yeah. And
the skull was actually quite pretty, I thought.
The skull on fire.
Yeah.
That was quite.
It's like you're going across Europe, west to east. Isn't it? You start off with the fruit and the hat, and now you're going to the dead horse.
Actually, that first one was of Putin, wasn't it?
It was Vladimir Putin dressed as was it Carmen Miranda?
Beautiful.
So it was Vladimir Putin all muscly, but in a lovely tropical dress. With a fruit hat and maracas.
I reckon he'd like that, because he's really into that sort of thing.
I reckon you've got about an hour and a half left, so you better talk quick, mate.
How was your polonium lunch? Allegedly.
I'd love to see that court case. I don't know.
They reckon it was politically motivated, that death of a politician.
It's funny, that, isn't it?
That's the Mail Online for you. Death of a politician may be politically motivated. Well done, Mail Online. It's really good there. On the nail.
Putin is the most homoerotic homophobe thing that's ever. He's amazing.
He's completely smooth, you know.
He is.
He's completely frictionless.
In the pictures, he's got no body heads. He's like a snake
that's
man.
Nice.
He's like Voldemort.
He can walk through closed doors. It's amazing.
Yeah. that is quite good of him. And other than that, what's he like?
I think he's an ambitious man.
Oh. That's one way of putting it. Yeah.
He likes horses, so he can't be all bad.
I've seen those photos, yeah. And a man of...
He likes the
topless on a horse.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Mm. But I think...
Gannon, you've gone so quiet. Are you actually having a little nap?
Yes. This is one of the few moments of this whole thing where I get to go, I don't need to talk. This is great. I can just go, you're funny. I'm enjoying listening to this.
You could just hear it.
Oh, I've been so tempted. Just the number of mouth farts I've had were... I thought they were going to be words, and no. They were just sounds. Sounds dressed up in hope.
Like Vision On.
It was
kind of strange.
I was so tired about the 5 a.m. mark that I kind of knew Pierre's name was Pierre. I think I called him... I was so close to calling him, I think, a P45. Something really weird. It was like there wasn't even a word.
Which is his rap name, to be fair.
You called me Pi at one point.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did. Oh, because I was trying to learn Pi. It was very... And then
what is it like to be this tired at a mic? Is it like being like the head of the Green Party? Is it like kind of that kind of...
Not as many gaffes.
Yeah, not that kind of... The voice noises don't make any sense.
Oh, that interview. Oh, God.
Everyone's coughing now. Just stop talking.
Yeah. I've just got to cough.
Just going to buy me some time.
It's the problem... Your policies are too complicated now. Just grow more hedges. That's your housing policy. Grow more hedges.
I don't
you
think
can deal with that.
It won't pass through the Commons, that kind of thing. It just won't.
It'll probably nod through.
We'll shoot that down.
Hedges, no!
No! Oh, hedge sketch. Fry and Laurie. Yay! Oh, I mentioned it again.
Elon, get back in there, quick. He's back on Fry and Laurie. Where are you?
I'll get talking about 24 if we're not fucking lucky.
We're about five seconds away from Die Hard.
He came in then like he was a bouncer. It's like code red.
Talking hedges. Is it that sketch where they get it wrong?
Yeah.
You mentioned it again.
Someone said hedge and then I mentioned hedge and it was
fucking
slick.
It's
weird, the number of weird conversational callbacks and...
Let's go back to rabbits. Freaky?
Yeah.
Freaky.
Snuffy little fucks they are.
Rabbits? I like rabbits.
What happened to them?
I used to have a pet rabbit I used to take to work with me. I used to jump around the desk.
Yeah, but imagine that rabbit.
Well, you imagine anything about 8 times the size?
A coordinator for a homeless charity.
A big mouse would just be like a dog.
Yes. So wait, you're saying imagine this rabbit. We're doing that.
Yeah.
No, imagine it a big one. Okay. Like the size of this desk.
Well, what's your gradient? What's most scariest 8 times the size? I'd say a stick insect would be more dangerous than a rabbit eight times the size.
Dangerous, but not freaky. With a big freaky
stone.
Nose. 8 foot. This big sniffy nose
kidney
and his floppy ears staring you out.
No, it'd be lovely.
That's all I've got to say.
No, you're wrong.
And you shut up.
Someone should make a film about it. It just sounds like a terrible concept. A giant rabbit.
We've been there.
You've been down the Australian
sort of exploitation flick
with Janet Leigh and DeForest Kelly in. Yeah.
And the Curse of the Were Rabbit. The Curse of the Were Rabbit.
If only it was good as that.
And Harvey, anyone?
Oh yeah.
Harvey.
Yeah.
Donnie Darko.
Is there a subgenre?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
So many rabbit films.
Fucking freaking
Space Jam.
There is a subgenre of giant rabbit.
It's got a rabbit in it.
I'm pushing it. Just any Looney Tune back in action while we're at it.
Blockbuster around now, they'd have an aisle. They'd have a shelf with giant rabbit films.
Yeah.
There's at least six. Roger Rabbit. There we go.
I can think of other films with rabbits in, but I don't think that's what we're.
They don't count, and you know it. Grow up. He says.
Looney Tunes back in action.
Right, this show's been on for many hours. If this
since 8 o'clock, yeah.
Just listing rabbit. What other animals have we done?
I think we've only really managed to get rabbits done.
Donkeys are the best animals.
Mention Bachelor Party, which has a donkey.
A lot of films about donkeys.
Yeah.
I played Benjamin in a production of Animal Farm once. Ooh. When I was at school. And the art department, I was in the sixth form at school and we did Animal Farm, and I was Benjamin the donkey, the wise one. And the art department had made us masks, which were really good, but because I was a donkey and I couldn't see anything apart from what was left and right of me, so I kept just running into people.
Mm. I'll do one better than that. I was in The Jungle Book in school, not recently.
Yeah.
I was like 7 or 8, and I got to play Shere Khan.
Oh.
And they put this, you know, like kind of leopard skin thing on me.
On a child.
Here's the thing. Growing back when I remembered it, I just remember the fur, the thing. It wasn't until I got older and went, yeah, I had to get that from a sex shop.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's not. You know what? You did it. Fair enough. Don't tell me.
Don't tell me
in a sex shop.
No,
don't tell me.
Didn't need to get that from a sex shop.
Right? She could have asked any one of my aunties, and they would have had the exact same costume in their wardrobe.
They were all whores.
I had to do a.
I didn't say that. I just want to make that point.
Sorry, I know your mum's listening, isn't she? I didn't mean that, Mrs.
Oh God, Mum, don't please. I want me money from Christmas. Please be good.
I did a Christmas play, years ago, and the teacher, I'd done something so naughty at school the month before that the teacher rewrote the play so that I now played a goblin, and the other children had to boo me while I did a dance.
That's genius.
And the boys had to boo, and all the girls had to go, hiss.
Wow, it's
it wasn't even me that did the crime. It wasn't even me.
What was the crime?
Well, I was in the playground playing with a wall.
It was your best friend.
No, I was playing, stroking the wall, like the cement. And I just like to stroke the cement. And a bit of cement and brick just came out as I was stroking it. Another boy said, I'm telling. And I said, please do not tell. And he said, yeah, I know, I'm going to tell you did it on purpose. And I said, I did not do it on purpose, please. And he said, I won't tell if you smell my finger after I've put it up my bum. Yeah. And I said, I will do anything. And then I did it, but I was so shocked at the disgusting smell, I just slapped him in the face.
Right, you know this is going out live, right? We're not going to get the chance to take this out on request.
So you got punished for slapping the boy in the face?
But I was six. I was a push. Yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah. What was the goblin
But did the guy, did you not go, but he'd stuck his finger up his possum and made me smell it?
Who believes that? No, you barely believe me. The teacher wasn't going to believe that. The teacher just saw half.
He raises a salient point.
Oh, Hess has got his phone on.
No, it's fine. I've got my phone on. I'm not going to stop pointing fingers. You might slap me.
That was a lovely story.
Only if you've stuck your finger
off, guys. That's fine, that's fine.
The bum thing is a lovely story.
Thanks for leaving us with that lovely, lovely image.
I hope the producers of Midsummer Murders aren't listening, because that's about... They're on series 23 now, so I think that's quite a good plot.
Yeah.
That's a good starting point for a Midsummer Murder.
Give our love to the guys over the world.
Take care. Send Mark our love. Even though right now I'm not sure he knows what reality is. Because we finish here an hour before he finishes, so we're going to go for the last hour.
Right, yeah.
And I'm going to be reasonably sure it's going to be a clusterfuck of crazy stuff and a man in the middle dying on the inside.
Yeah, basically.
Promising himself he'll never do it again.
Until next time.
I'm not going over there.
You know, why not?
Because I've got to go to Florida tomorrow.
I've got to go to somewhere hot and nice.
Are your diamond shoes too tight? Oh, poor old Eli. No. Got to go to Florida tomorrow. You going to Disneyland?
No.
Oh.
No. No, my family live there, so... It'd be nice. It will be nice.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't worry, it will be
I'll try not to worry. I was worried for
a
bit.
I'm not going to shitty land.
They I think they're closed Shitty Land.
Yeah, they did.
Their marketing people had a real, yeah. real problem at Shitty Land.
Didn't work. Something didn't work about it. I don't know what it was. No. Is Paul gone?
They said,
"Oh God, that means you've got the reins, Eli.
I'm going to take the helm.
Quick, that means you can line up that song you wanted to play."
Oh yeah.
What was it?
I'm here.
Yes, sir. I can boogie.
Can you?
Can you?
Oh God, look, we're all
sorry.
Who's just arrived, Gannon? Oh,
no one. I just had to do a bit of admin. It's just really tough to be presenter and producer
what
and admin
the people
and phone
that are listening
call.
Don't realise is that you just came up behind Eli, thrust yourself at him, and then went just doing a bit of admin. So,
do you not know my moves?
I would love your voice to be on audio description for television, because I just think that voice is so boring. Robin
Christine
Hood
Gray.
Looks away and walks out of the door. That would be
better. I make it more animated.
That.
Robin Hood.
Yeah, no, 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 he came.
He's raised that down on the table.
He made me sound like a Monty Python. Oh my God, I do sound like a Monty Python.
I write impression comedy. I don't do impression comedy.
That's
I leave that to other people. But audio description would be great.
Yeah, I reckon I'm. Yeah.
Probably
there you go.
Yeah, signing.
That's not audio description, that's, well, no, raving.
No, exactly. What's happening is I should have glow sticks between yeah. these fingers and I'm doing this at the same time.
I can finger spell, but it's bad radio, so I won't.
What's finger spell?
Like the sign language, but the spelling the alphabet.
Okay. I thought it was a dance move. I did. I thought it was a dance move.
Yeah.
And I was like, are the kids into this? Am I going to like it? Am I going to be the new trendsetter? No, I'm 36 and overweight. So, you know.
Oh, please.
Oh, you're 36. Boo-hoo.
You're 40, aren't you, this week? Last week?
Next month.
Next month.
Oh.
He doesn't look a day over 40.
Fuck off.
And that's where the Oscar Wilde repartee is like for the last few hours. Oh, it's 14:51. That's fine. We've got 9 more minutes before. Do you want to get a song ready then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice just, of you just, to ask.
I'm just saying.
He's got his proper old school in here. He's got a turntable and a record, an actual
yeah,
record
we've got
on it.
Vinyl on because it's a proper way of listening to music.
Yeah.
Not
your MP3. No, I agree. I've got
it's,
a record player.
It's wonderful to have the vinyl here because. They still think vinyl exists because I was listening to that Andrew Neil politics show and they do the comedy things and they always do the... I go, I haven't heard that song. That, no, it's from an actual record. In 25 years!
I like the noise when you blow the fluff off the needle.
Yeah. The thing is, the record scratch is the equivalent of like when they use an envelope to describe an email.
Yeah.
No one sends an envelope, but we still know what that means.
It's comfort food for old people, isn't it?
It is.
It's the last dying vestiges of what we had growing up.
If they stop going when comedy moments stop,
we'll
then,
never know
then
that
we will
funny.
Die too.
Yeah, it's a shorthand sort of thing. Yeah. I never thought of it.
It's a shorthand
like that.
For old people to say, oh, this is the moment where you've stopped talking quickly.
Or you're watching an Adam Sandler trailer. And they've just revealed the twist.
Everything's going well. His life is great. And then...
Yeah. Until...
No, that's cool.
Until an old record came into the film. And no one knows what it was.
Oh, I actually felt like I wanted to give
I think we should have had the noise there.
I'll be honest. At this point... I don't know if I can go on.
Yeah, you can.
Not like, you know, in terms of the end of the show. I'll do the end of the show. I mean, in general, can I go on?
Do the thing when you collapse again.
Oh. Yeah, that didn't work.
Oh, that did not work.
This is not Steve Wright in the afternoon, is it? We don't have sound effects for every moment.
No, fine.
It's fine,
leave it. I just tried something, and it didn't work.
It didn't work. Hey, look, experimentation...
Is anybody actually out there listening to this?
I hope so, otherwise...
Yes.
This is an artisan radio show, isn't it? There's special effects it's queuing up.
It's less a broadcast show, more of a kind of audio lap dance for one person.
Yeah, that's your mum.
God, mum, turn off.
That was so surreal.
It's going to get sexy, mum.
It's your mum and my boyfriend are the only people listening to this right now.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
This could be great for sort of mental institutions. Just tell everyone they're doing a sponsored podcast and put them in a glass room and they'd be happy for a week.
I've always said
it's a good pacifying thing.
Give mentally unhealthy people a Bluetooth device for their ear and no one's going to stop them from talking.
It's not actually as easy as it looks, all of this. You know? It's like the swan. You know? Your legs are going like mad underneath the surface.
I can see you're on a tightrope. I can see you are on a tightrope. Physically, I'm doing audio description again here. Have you ever sat on the audio description button while you're watching television and this voice suddenly says, and he walks out the door? They go, who is there? Who was in the... Who was in that?
I hate it. It's so annoying, that audio description, unless you're blind, in which case
it's great. Very useful if you're blind.
I use subtitles on everything I watch because I'm deaf in one ear and I lip read and stuff, so I use subtitles on TV because I can't. But it's really annoying when you're watching comedy because it just ruins the jokes because it just comes up before they've actually done the punchline. It is annoying.
Do you watch live news?
Oh, that's
great because it all all the words are wrong.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's in the gym is where you see
it. Dibble Cameroon today.
Yeah.
But it's not somebody typing it. That's why it's voice recognition.
It's voice recognition.
Yeah, that's why it's so bad. If somebody was typing it,
that's why they never
bad.
Have Jeremy Hunt on News 24. Because
it's one of the many reasons.
It's not a person. It's an actual.
It's voice recognition software.
No. Well, that's. I've learned something today. That's very
no,
good.
If someone to type it, it would cost way too much.
And would be more efficient. I mean, not efficient, but better.
It would be better, yeah.
You know, they court typers and stuff can do it
know,
really quickly.
Otherwise, it gets confusing because you're sitting there going, well, I can see Russia, but they're talking about Gary Glitter. What?
Yeah, well, because the delay of it is just annoying. Yeah.
Oh, Leonard Nimoy's in Russia.
Oh,
I think that's cool.
Too soon.
Not too soon. You know that Leonard Nimoy died yesterday, right?
I hope so. Otherwise, the last few gags I've done have been nothing.
It's very tough for geeks like us that Leonard's went. I'm using it as a sort of like a warm-up for Tom Baker. So I'm preparing myself mentally. I'm going, this is what it'd be like if Tom went about four times worse.
I once tripped over Tom Baker's foot.
Oh.
As he was stepping out of a florist carrying a big bunch of flowers in Maidstone. He lives in Wateringbury, which is just outside Maidstone.
He lives in where?
Wateringbury, which is a village not far from
Maidstone.
Wateringbury.
Wateringbury.
Yeah.
It's very British.
A village
British.
Not far from Maidstone.
I think you'll find he lives in Gallifrey.
Get it right.
I think that's not canon, Wateringbury.
And he was stepping out of a florist's on Gabriel's Hill in Maidstone, carrying a big bunch of flowers, wasn't looking where he was going, and as he stepped out, I tripped over his foot.
Bastard.
Yeah. No, he was very
I'll do my
dramatic.
Tom.
You.
Oh, me. Oh, right, yeah. Me. My fault.
I'll do my Tom Baker anecdote as well.
Go on.
But it's as the punchline is Tom Baker, then it's pretty lousy.
It's fine.
I was working in Hamlet's toy shop and I had this tap on my shoulder and it was him. I turned around and he was like 9 foot tall and he asked for a squeaky thing because he was in the West End and part of the play was his shoe was squeaky, so he needed a squeaky thing to put in his shoe. So he came into Hamley's toy shop, and I was working there, obviously. I didn't just have a red jersey on as a joke.
Loitering.
So we went up and down squeezing teddy bears together to find the right squeak to go in his shoe.
Aww.
And then we actually found a cane which had a squeaky end, and he went away quite happy.
Story could be misinterpreted. Yeah.
You can get those squeaky things, just the squeaky thing.
I think this is a past tense story
it's hard
now.
To get them,
this was 15 years ago.
Mate, I did a...
I don't work there now.
A play in
only
school.
Only on Saturdays and Sundays.
I did a play in school, and I had a squeaky thing.
It's a great anecdote, mate.
Wow. Wicked.
Also, Hamley's, now that you bring it up,
yeah.
Has that gone downhill, that place, or what? Wow.
It's got a train. It's got the train going up round now. It didn't
I
have
remember
it when I was
going
there.
Into the games floor...
Yeah,
as a child, and it was a cornucopia of delight and magic.
I think that's your
because
age.
Because you were a child.
I think the scales fall
and
from your
eyes.
And
I went there the other year, and it was fucking three games, just loads of it. Like, they had fuck all there.
It's basically. Like the seaside as well. It's the same.
It's all
the seaside's gone downhill too.
It's all ruined.
Especially near the coast.
When did you go to Hamlin's when you were a kid?
A lot. I used to go there a lot.
A lot of waste of words.
You know, I used to have the guys with the planes.
Are they still there?
Are they still there?
And the three in a pack and they all fly
the
back.
And those magic balloons. People
Marvin's magic, yeah.
And the balloons, that stuff you get in a tube and you put it on the end of a... And you blow the bubble out of it.
And
you can't eat it. You can't eat that stuff.
Don't eat that shit.
We used to demonstrate vibrating pens. Squiggle pens.
Ah.
Which were incredibly suggestive.
When did this become Last of the Summer Wine?
How is this?
It's all very parochial. I'm not complaining.
Hamley's is on Regent Street in London.
It
I'm
still exists,
it's
unlike Compo and Clegg and Foggy.
We're in central London.
I'll be honest, I'm not completely listening to anything anyone's being said.
We're in central London talking about children. How is that? Lots
children are actually our future, not the past.
Right.
It's time for...
Set it up and we'll get it. Let me do a bit of admin. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you'd like to donate, please do. Give us your pennies, your pounds, your coins, your notes, or your debit card details. And give it all to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. If that's too much of a mouthful, go to foobarradio.com or... Go to geekatorium.net. They're all the links there that will take you to our giving page. And when you're there, please give. Eli, what are you going to play us out with?
I'm not playing us out. We've got 8 hours.
For this hour. I'll give you the jingle and then you can start after the jingle, all right? And slick.
Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie by Baccarat.
Oh, nice work. Join us right after that piece of 70s slice of sex.
FUBAR Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge. Raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.